This morning I'm reading from John 21, verses 15 through 19. This is a post-resurrection account of Jesus' dialogue with Peter, in which Peter seeks to restore his fallen apostle to a place of forgiveness and service. Reading from God's Word. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Now, one of the most beautiful aspects of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God not only forgives us, but he restores us to be his own sons and daughters. He not only forgives us, but in forgiving us, we enter into a relationship of love with our Heavenly Father, by which we are intimate with him, and nothing in all of creation, no hardship, no suffering, and no failure can separate us from God's love if we're trusting in him. That's the good news of the gospel. But in this passage, the curtain is lifted. We see the sunlight on the Sea of Galilee. In the foreground is the rocky beach of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus Christ has a fire going, preparing breakfast for his six of his disciples and Peter. And this is after Jesus has enabled them to haul in a great catch of fish. The disciples had fished for quite some time that night and were unable to catch anything until Jesus told them where to cast the net. I can't help but chuckle at that. Experienced fishermen cannot catch fish. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates he's God by telling them exactly where the fish are. And they haul them in. And Peter, inexplicably, jumps into the Sea of Galilee, fully clothed, and swims to shore. And meets the Lord Jesus. But to really understand what is happening in this passage, we have to appreciate what is going on inside of Peter. Peter is a fallen apostle. Peter had denied Jesus three times. Jesus is preparing a fire on shore. Jesus has planned this fire on shore to remind Peter of a previous fire, the last one he was at, outside the residence of the high priest's home, when his master was hauled in to the inner chamber of the high priest and interrogated unjustly. Meanwhile, Peter is outside in the courtyard, and a servant of the high priest says, "You're one of his disciples." Peter says, "No." Another one says, "You're one of his disciples." Peter says, I don't know him." And then a servant girl of the high priest asked, "Well, you were with him?" "No." And then can you imagine the scene when Jesus comes out of the inner chamber, condemned, and with innocent, all-powerful eyes, looks into the heart of Peter, and Peter is confronted and convicted that he has failed his Lord, he has betrayed his master, denying him three times. And at that point, we have to understand that as Peter grapples with his failure, he undoubtedly thought, "Yes, I have heard Jesus' blessing. I was with the other disciples in the upper room when Jesus appeared to us, and I heard Jesus say, 'Peace be to you.' But can I ever have a useful life for Jesus again? Can I ever be as close to him as I once was? Can I ever be used by Jesus as I once was? Can I ever have that, know I have the delight of his love because of the agony of failing my Lord when he needed me?" And in this passage of Scripture, we see that those who are fallen, those who are under the guilt of sin, which we all are, and all have been, can find forgiveness and restoration in Christ and a useful, joyful life in him. So the first point of the three points, Jesus' compassion creates repentance. Jesus' chastising kindness creates restoration, a full restoration. And those who know him are called and empowered to love him first. So first, Jesus' compassion creates repentance. So breakfast is finished, and Jesus turns to Simon Peter. And keep in mind, there are other disciples there. But he turns to Simon Peter personally, and he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And the word for love there is a word that was used in the Greek language in which this was written for God's love. Perfect, unchanging, undiminished love. Divine love. And Peter's heart must have been skipping a beat. We can only imagine how he felt. But perhaps we can imagine that when Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" Referring to the other disciples, Peter would have thought, you know, perhaps felt churning in his stomach, burning in his cheeks, misty-eyed, because Jesus is turning Peter's face, as it were, back to his denials, and stage by stage, bringing him back to each denial. There are three denials. There are three questions, do you love me? And there are three commissions, feed my lambs. This is all planned by our Lord in order, you know, Jesus is not rubbing salt into his wounds. Jesus is seeking to bring his disciple to recognize that he needed to turn back to the Lord Jesus. He needed to be repentant so that Peter would have the assurance of Christ's forgiveness and restoration, because Jesus had big plans for Peter. But our hearts must be restored before our service can be restored. And that's the point. So Jesus asked him, do you love me? And that brought Peter back to 2 weeks before, in John 13, 36 and 37, we read these words. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterwards. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay your life down for me? Truly, truly, I tell you, the rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times. So what is Jesus doing? Well, Jesus is using his name Simon. That was the name he had from birth. That was not the name Jesus gave him when Peter made his great confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. No, no, that's not the name Jesus is using. Jesus is using his birth name. The point is, Jesus is saying, Peter, are you aware of your weakness, or are you still driven by your pride, thinking that you love me more than anyone else does? Do you realize what you really are? How weak you are in your sinful nature. How much your pride deceived yourself. How little you are dependent on me. Do you recognize that you need to cling to me alone? And how does Peter answer? Turning back to John chapter 21, Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Ah, but this is a different word for love. Peter is not claiming anymore something or someone he is not. This is the word for love. Lord, I can't say I love you with perfect love, divine love. What I can say is I love you with a strong attachment to you, with a strong friendship love. I'm recognizing, Peter's saying in effect, my love is not what it should be, but I rely on you to bring it to the higher level of love, to grow me. Okay? Then he says the second time, he said to him in verse 16, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Again, the divine word for love Jesus uses. And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. So Jesus uses the same word for love he used before. And Peter uses the same word for love. Yes, Lord, I love you with a friendship love. Now, there are some who might be critical of Peter, but don't be too critical. Because 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, if anyone doesn't love the Lord with a friendship love, let him be cursed. Peter loved the Lord, but that he recognizes now, Lord, in and of myself, I'm incapable of loving you with the same kind of love you loved me. And Jesus, who knows that, because Jesus has put that love in Peter's heart for the Lord, says, Peter, I will accept that because my plan is to bring you to the higher level of love as you grow and I grow you in love for me. Then there's a third question. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? Jesus is doing something wonderful for Peter. This time, Jesus uses the word for friendship love, as if to say, I know you love me, Peter. I'm affirming you in that love so that you will recognize you are restored to me, you are forgiven, because you've been repentant, and I plan to make your life fruitful for me. Now here's an application. Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? After each time that Jesus drags Peter back to the stages of his failure, Peter says, you know I love you, Lord. And after each time, Jesus says, I accept you and I recommission you to feed my lambs. Forgiveness each time, because Peter has been already recognized his sinfulness and what he did to offend the Lord. And he's trusting in Jesus Christ's love for his forgiveness. He's trusting that the one who died and rose again, died and rose again because Peter was a great sinner, greater than he even knew until the Lord made him to see his sin. But he didn't only see his sin, he saw the magnitude of Jesus' grace and mercy. Peter was not cast down by his sin. He was lifted up to the heights of Christ's free love on the cross. And I pray that every one of us, in recognizing our sin, would be lifted up to the heights of Christ's free love on the cross. But he does a second thing here, and this is a second point. He not only creates in Peter repentance through compassion, he also chastises Peter in kindness. In each of these three questions, as I pointed out, Jesus is bringing Peter back. It's like he's taking Peter by the neck and putting his face back to Peter's denials. Why? Because Jesus only intends to wound us in order to heal us. Peter is grieved. But out of that grief comes the joy of repentance and the joy of restoration. You know, Peter is a man of action. And because he was such a person of action, he could live life only if he were in control. Only if he were in control. And Jesus is asking in these questions, Peter, are you still struggling with control? By asking Peter the one question over which Peter has no control. Do you love me? Because Peter can't love the Lord unless the Lord first kindles love in him for Jesus. It's because God sets his love on us, chooses us in love, sends the Holy Spirit into our hearts to trust in Christ's love that we are able to love Jesus. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. Peter, I want you to serve me. But you must remember, Peter, you are a son of Adam. And every person born after Adam has a sinful nature. We are all on equal ground. As sinners separated from God and needing Christ's forgiveness and love. I know you want to serve me. I know you want to go fishing for me. But Peter, you are ready to do nothing until you first receive my love and love me back. Jesus restores him to his apostolic office. He does. He says, feed my lambs 3 times. But note the order. Order. Peter's heart must first be restored before Peter's service can. Peter and each of us, all of us, you must accept my love and respond to me with a heart that is seared by failure but healed by my love. Oftentimes there are areas of our life in which God allows us to have no control. We can't fix it. We can't make it right. Peter couldn't make his denials right. He couldn't go back and make them right. He could simply receive Christ's loving forgiveness. And in those situations, God is calling us to trust that Jesus Christ is allowing us to be weak, is allowing us to be a situation we can't fix, so that we will recognize how weak and inadequate we are, and that we must stop running our lives in pride and let Jesus heal our broken hearts with the same power that he exercised when he was raised from the dead. Amen. So he creates repentance. He chastises us in love to restore us. And then the last point would be this. Do you love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? Love for God is the most important. It is more important than serving him. We are to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our mind, with all our strength, and let that be the motivation out of which we serve him. It's easy in the day-to-day following of Christ to get so involved in serving him that we forget the one whom we are serving. We are to cultivate a deep, deep love for Christ. Do you love me? Then feed my lambs. Techniques and methods can be primary. And we need power for those techniques, right, and methods. But it is so often easy for all of us, including myself, to forget that the source of the power is to cultivate a close, vital, loving relationship with Christ so that he is the one that we cling to. That we are not after the power, we are after the source of the power, Christ. Love Jesus. What did Jesus say to Mary and Martha? Jesus said to Martha, who was busy in the kitchen, after she said, "Lord, send Mary out into the kitchen. She's wasting time sitting at your feet." And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things. One thing is needful, and Mary is doing it." The point is this. God wants our service. But first, God wants our love. And that means a yieldedness to the Holy Spirit, a yieldedness to God.
Mary is doing the better thing.
Right. Thank you for that. Mary is doing the better thing. So let us cast ourselves on Christ's love. Let us yield to his love. And let everything we do be devoted to Jesus as an outgrowth of love for him. I want to close with this story. John Lloyd Ogilvie was a Presbyterian pastor of many years past. And he went through a very difficult period in his life. His wife had cancer. 4 staff people resigned. There were a lot of difficulties and conflicts, and he needed a new touch from God. And he asked for that. He cast himself on the Lord. And he said, when he cast himself in a new way on God and recognized his inability, how he totally needed Christ's love, he said, nothing changed and everything was different. The point was, he was right with God. He was right with his circumstances because God was in control, not him. And he experienced in a fresh way Christ's love. May that be true for all of us. So, Jesus' compassion creates repentance. Jesus, in chastising kindness, restores us. And let our response be cultivating a first love for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your gracious goodness and kindness. Lord God, may our lives be wrapped up in loving you. Lord, forgive us for ways we've wandered from you, and forgive us. And we ask, renew in us the assurance, Lord, that we're accepted by you through faith in Christ, and that you have saved us to give us a joyful life of loving and serving you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.